couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We are going to be talking about a bunch of movies this week. There's actually some good stuff opening, which is odd in September to
September.
Some good movies opening.
A lot of them.
It's some real terrible movies in the beginning of September. We've had some rough weeks.
We have.
But
we
now
have.
We've got. We're going to be talking about Hotel Transylvania if you like monster movies. We're going to be talking about Won't Back Down if you hate teachers unions. We can talk about Pitch Perfect if you like a cappella groups. And there's also we're going to be talking
about Looper if you like sci-fi assassins.
Time-traveling assassins that look like Kirk Cameron and Bruce Willis. So we've also got Blu-rays and DVDs to talk about. We're going to be talking about later on. But before we start off with the reviews, I have a piece of mail that we got to the show.
Oh, this is a good one.
And I love getting these sort of things. This is my stalker. He's my personal hater on the internet. It is from Sean Cunningham. Now, I think there's like a 30% chance this is the Sean Cunningham who did the Friday the 13th movie.
Now, I looked him up.
Okay.
I do my research, and I looked up IMDb, and they have a different middle initial. So
I think he's just trying to
hide
himself.
You think he's hiding it?
Yeah, okay. But I liked the Friday the 13th movie, so I don't know why he's coming after me. But the subject of the email is, you suck. And you know it just is going to get better from there. He says, you have the writing ability of a five-year-old, and even that toddler probably holds more cinematic depth than you. I once read that you refer to yourself as an expert, and I just read your review of The Master. You are a joke. First of all, I don't know what five-year-olds he's hanging around, but five-year-olds are not toddlers. I'm sorry.
No, it's true.
If you're toddling when you're 5 years old, you're probably drunk and your parents should be probably put in jail. But this guy, he's written me before. He once wrote a big, long diatribe about how it was really offensive that I called Sean Penn ugly.
Well, there's that.
He is ugly, though. He is a nasty-looking person.
He's not pretty.
He was, like, kind of cool-looking when he did Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know, when he was the... What was the character's name in that? It was...
Spicoli.
Spicoli, that's right, Jeff Spicoli. But then he got a sourpuss face. I mean, he looks like he sucked a lemon.
He is not a pretty man.
It looks like he's in a staring contest with Renee Zellweger. But this guy also went after me. And one time, one of his emails, I actually looked it up. It's, I despise you as a film critic. You couldn't find a profound thought in a wet paper bag. You suck, in capital letters.
Are there profound thoughts in a wet paper bag?
I've looked. I could not find a profound thought in a wet paper bag. I don't know what happened.
I don't think I could find one either.
I don't think anybody can. The Master probably could. P.T. Anderson. He could get a profound thought.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Anyways, if you want to reach the show, you can email us. If you want to tell me I suck, I encourage you to do so. You can email the show at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail if you really want to hate on me. You're going to have to pay the charges.
You couldn't play those back, so.
I have.
Have you?
I have paid, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Call us.
Call us. 740-205-6456. You're going to have to pay for it. Sorry. Anyways, fatguysofthemovies.com you can also go to. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM and like our page. You can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr. And you're not on Twitter, but you do have a website.
Yes, nightsandweekends.com.
Yeah, where you can use that for all your entertainment needs on nights and weekends. You're SOL on the days. Sorry. You know, if it's in the middle of the day, you can't get to the website.
It's true.
Anyways, let's talk about the first movie.
Okay.
Which is Hotel Transylvania. It's a CGI movie in which Count Dracula runs a hotel where the monsters who live in hiding can visit until his teenage daughter wants to go out in the real world.
Sir, we have an urgent plumbing issue.
Plumbing?
There is a clogged toilet in room 348.
It's okay, we all get stomach aches, Mr. Bigfoot.
Welcome to Hotel Transylvania.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Human free since 1898.
Hello?
A human.
What is this place?
It's just a normal hotel, nothing going on here.
All right, Kristen, first blood, what do you think of Hotel Transylvania?
You know, I enjoyed it. It's one of those things, you know, it's an Adam Sandler movie.
It is, yeah. So, that's worth mentioning because you may not recognize his voice right away.
Right. So you do have a lot of fart jokes.
Yeah.
And as a new parent, you know, I deal with bodily functions on a regular basis.
It's not going to stop.
And so...
I know you have a girl.
Thanks.
But
thanks for that.
She'll be passing wind all the way
So, you know, I don't need them in my kids' movies all the time, yeah. but I know it's the thing.
They're going to be there.
But, you know, there's a balance.
Okay.
So you have the fart jokes, but you also have the little pop culture references mm-hmm. and some clever humor along the way, too. And I love the monsters.
The monsters.
You know, you get every monster you can imagine.
And then some.
Yes.
You know what I liked about Hotel Transylvania was that it was different. I mean, as weird as that sounds, there are so many kids' movies that are just another sequel or a Shrek ripoff.
That's true.
Or a Twisted Fairy Tale or something like that. There was a whole series of times where it was like we're getting Shrek and Happily Never After and Ella Enchanted and all these sort of derivative movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Hotel Transylvania, it's not the most original thing. I mean, we've seen this before with like Mad Monster Party from Rankin Bass way back in the 60s or 70s.
Right.
But it's nice to actually see something that's not just a sequel or a ripoff. And for as much as everybody complains about there not being originality in Hollywood, here's an original movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's riffing on existing cinematic characters, but it is in fact an original
movie.
It
is. And you know, to me, it gave me a feeling through the whole thing of the ride at Disneyland Haunted Mansion.
Okay, which is better than the Haunted Mansion movie, actually.
Right. But, you know, the ride, it's spooky and it's got all the ghosts and, you know, it's creepy stuff, but really it's kind of funny.
It's like Scooby-Doo.
And so it's yeah, the same kind of feel.
Yeah. I liked it. What's funny about it is this is directed by, and I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Genndy Tartakovsky.
Am I saying Tartakovsky.
That right? Tartakovsky. He's the guy who did Samurai Jack and Dexter's Laboratory.
Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
And I'd heard that he had... that he was involved in it like a while back and I kind of forgot. And then as I'm watching mm-hmm. the movie, you don't normally see this with CGI movies because this is all computer generated. It's not cell animated. It's not flash animated. But when everyone talks, it's like, I think, and they're running
you
around.
Know, I don't think they can see you.
I you can feel it. You can feel my energy. I'm waving my arms like a madman here. But
this isn't TV.
Yeah, but that's what they do. It was a little distracting when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the credits rolled and I saw the name, I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Right.
It was directed in such a frenetic.
Yeah, it was an interesting combination of his normal style and, you know, the CGI.
Yeah, I don't know if it actually made the transition as well as it could have, but it worked for what it was. And I mean, it's trite and it's silly and they do have stuff that's not very funny. And Adam
But, you know,
Sandler,
it's okay to be silly.
Look,
I'm okay
you know
with silly.
Adam Sandler had stuff like That's My Boy and Jack and Jill and Just Go With It. I mean, it's nice.
You know, I've been trying to forget those, so thanks for bringing them back up.
I've ruined your brain.
Yeah, thanks.
But it's nice to see that he's doing something different that's not.
He loves his kid stuff, though.
Yeah.
You know, he now that he has his own kids,
mm-hmm.
he does fun kid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Bedtime Stories.
Bedtime
Stories.
Movie. Yeah, he was at a period where he was actually doing cute kid stuff for a while. And now he's not. And it has other actors that I like. It has, what's her name? Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a teenager.
She's 118.
118, which is a coming of age for a vampire.
Apparently.
But I am a big fan of horror movies, and I am a big fan of horror movie motifs. We've got a lot of kids horror, not kids horror movies, but movies that are geared towards kids that have these elements.
Paranorman. Yep.
You got Frankenweenie coming up in next week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that fits in that. I took my son. He liked it. It was cute.
There are lots of good references in it, too, that the parents will get and the kids won't. And that's fun.
Yeah. It gets the biggest problem I had with it is once they get to the third act, and I always hate when critics talk in third act.
The third act.
Oh, it all broke down in the third act. The problem with the third act is it ends up being one of those movies that justifies its existence and says we have to do this plot. We have to get to these plot points. We have to get this angst thing has to break off this relationship and we have to move this forward. And that's where I felt it kind of lost some of its charm, but it was still there.
Yeah, you know, it's a story about parents and kids and it works.
Yep. I think, what do you say, Fat Guy's grade?
I will say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it actually kind of rocks as well, which is surprising because I have to admit, I was kind of not looking forward to it.
Well, there you go.
Anyways, we got to move on. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Looper and Won't Back Down. And we will also talking a little bit about Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
And if you pay me enough, I might sing.
Oh.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We have been talking about Hotel Transylvania. Now we're going to be talking about some other movies that are a little more serious, less bodily humor.
Yes.
You know, we got Looper. This is the new one by Rian Johnson. I always want to say Rain because it's spelled R-I-A-N.
You know, when I was in Toronto and we did a round table with him.
Yeah.
And we were actually talking to Adrian Brody at the time. Ooh. And one of the other guys of the press called him Rain. And you would not believe the look that Adrian Brody gave him. It was terrible.
It was
the best part.
Wasn't that Korean action star who did Assassin, Ninja Assassin? Wasn't he Rain something or other? I think his name was Rain.
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. Yep.
Anyways, this is not Rain. This is Rian Johnson directing a science fiction action film about a hitman who must kill his future self.
In the future, time travel is outlawed. Used only in secret by the largest criminal organizations. When they need someone gone and they want to erase any trace of the target ever existing, they use specialized assassins like me, called loopers. And the only rule is never let your target escape, even if your target is you.
Mm. All right, you were really looking forward to this.
I was.
And we've recently seen it, so you know, haven't had a whole lot of time to
And that's
digest.
The hard thing. You know, there are movies that you can walk out and be like, yeah, it's okay. This is one that you need to think about for a few days or weeks, perhaps months. So, you know, it's one of those things that you want to go back.
We'll get back to you at Christmas.
Yeah, let's do that.
With our review of The Looper.
But that's what I like about movies like this one. It's one that I want to go back and see it again and kind of piece things together and, you know, think through it again because there is so much going on.
Yeah.
And so many little things that pop up here and there. And, you know, it's clever. I like that.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those movies that confuses some audience members. I don't think it's going to do as well simply because it's sort of like Inception where you're going to have, I guarantee you next week, you're going to have these stories of people coming out of seeing Looper and going, it was just so hard to follow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's time travel.
And that's what Rian Johnson does. He makes movies like that, you know, you walk out and you're like, huh. That was strange.
Yeah.
And he's really good at making movies that are a little disorienting. Yeah. And that's what I like about him.
I liked Looper. I didn't love it. And I went with my son, Liam, he's 11. And it was R-rated. So, I mean, it actually wasn't too bad in terms
of...
It was just a lot of language. Some blood.
There's a lot of blood.
Yeah. But I said to him, I liked it. It was what I consider, I thought it was a good movie that could have been a fantastic movie, but it had a couple stumbles. And this is a Rian Johnson thing. It was it drags in some parts.
Yeah.
There's one particular scene, and it's when you watch it, if you go see it, it's a scene where Emily Blunt's smoking. There's like one scene where she does that.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I was just like, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the rest of the movie. It was sort of an inane conversation. That's Rian Johnson. That's the kind of stuff he does. The action parts were really cool, and it does kind of have that manic level where it's really action-y and then really somber. It has some fantastic concepts. Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars in it, and he plays the young version of Bruce Willis.
Which also is disorienting because of all the makeup.
It's a lot of makeup, and I don't know why they just didn't make Bruce Willis look more like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Because Joseph Gordon-Levitt doesn't quite look like a young Bruce Willis. He looks like Kirk Cameron does now. Which is a little odd. And he kept more Kirk Cameron-y going in.
And that was one thing that kind of threw me off every once in a while, because when they're together, I would look at him and be like, his nose isn't quite right.
And I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt does a good job.
He does.
He does a great job emulating him. I mean, this is the level of performance that you saw if you saw Face Off, like 15 years ago, where you had Nicolas Cage and John Travolta doing impressions of each other, which was the most entertaining part of that movie, because the rest of it was total crap. But Looper's not crap.
No.
It's thick. It's kind of hard to follow at times, but it's a unique movie. It reminds me of like last year when Source Code came out, although I like Source Code better. But Source Code was this one, and it played with chronology, and it played with sci-fi and speculative fiction, and it wasn't something that connected really well with the mainstream audience.
Oh, I loved it.
Because it was so hard to follow at times, I think. So, I mean,
people want something. When you get into time travel, that is always going to throw people off. And there are always holes. You can't do it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. It's not perfect. So, if you think about it, the movie does completely unravel like a bad shirt.
Oh, yeah. But it's fun. And it is. You know, and there are so many smart little things to it that every once in a while something will pop up and you'll be like, ah, oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Oh, what's your fat guy's grade on?
I'm going to give it a Kinda Rocks.
Kinda Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like right on the
yeah,
right
I'm,
on the edge.
I am too.
I'm wondering if I'm going to like it better. See, part of it, I was not a big fan of Brick, which was Ryan Johnson's first film.
Yeah, I like The Brothers Bloom more.
Okay, I haven't seen that, but I know a lot. I mean, people just lost their cookies with Brick. They were just
that's
like,
one
it's
that,
the greatest one ever.
That's another one that I need to watch again. And I have it. It's still in the packaging, but you know.
I like this better than Brick. So
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of settle into a Kinda Rocks for this one, I think. I think that's where I'm sliding at this point. But I might like it better on DVD.
It's one of the, I might like it better tomorrow.
That's right. Get back to me at Christmas. It'll be like, it's top 10 movie of the year. There you go.
It could be.
Let's move on to the next one.
All right.
That is Won't Back Down. It has nothing to do with Tom Petty, except the song does show up at one point.
Does it?
It does,
well, that
actually.
Might make it worthwhile, then.
It's in which Maggie Gyllenhaal and Viola Davis star as a parent and a teacher who try to take over a failing public school.
We are taking back our schools. Go out there and fight for something better.
You have to find a teacher who has the same ideas you do.
We're gonna try something new. We're gonna work a little harder, me included.
You wanna take over this school with me?
You think that's dumb?
I think it's a knockout.
There's drugs, there's gangs.
Change the school, you change the neighborhood.
You really think you could turn this around?
I can't say for certain.
100% yes.
Here's my issue with Won't Back Down. And this comes from the fact that my wife's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most fiercely anti-teacher union films that we've seen since Waiting for Superman. And I know that some teachers unions and branches of an areas of are very corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very much problems with all unions. And as with anything that has power, and anyone that has power,
sure,
you're going to have corruption.
Mm-hmm.
This movie literally makes the union the bad guy. I mean, they are the bad guy in this movie.
Okay.
And the problem with this is it does exactly what Waiting for Superman does, where it attacks the union or attacks unions, but it's not actually, it doesn't show them doing anything positive. The whole point is they're trying to take over the school because of this legal provision that they can, if they get enough people, and then they can start a charter school.
Okay.
But you never get to any point where you actually see them that they know at all what they're doing or how to handle bureaucracy or how to handle state restrictions and requirements, mm-hmm, and all this stuff, mm-hmm, which is what usually cripples a school anyways.
Right.
So, but the oddest thing too is it has SAG actors in it. It has WGA writers. It was directed by a guy in the DGA.
It has everybody in it.
It has the AFL-CIO stamp of approval on the back, but it does not have the NEA stamp of approval.
There you go.
And that's the problem. And that was the problem with Waiting for Superman. If you saw that movie a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm,
it shows some real problems in public schools. And I'm not going to sit here and deny that public schools have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst of the public, you cannot then change all schools because some crappy school in New York City has tenure and has terrible teachers that have tenure. And then apply that to a decently run school where you're suddenly just cobbling teachers and you're gutting the system. And I've seen that personally happen. We've seen that happen in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It is a personal thing for me and my wife because that's our livelihood.
Right.
You know, there has been an attack on teachers' unions and not all teachers. Any profession, there are bad film critics that we know.
Really?
Yes, there are. I think you know some of them.
I might know a couple.
Every place has them, so.
Anyways, movies like this, they're one-sided.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to do Pitch Perfect.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back. We had to jump out on that break in the middle of the discussion of Won't Back Down. You actually had a question or comment. Do you remember what that was?
That was so long ago.
Hours ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've been discussing this for so long. But, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, the big.
I don't know who I am anymore.
You don't know. You're no. Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Thank from you. Weekend Talk. No.
Thank you.
Anyways, the bottom line is, won't back down. It's got its heart in the right place.
Okay.
But even if your heart's in the right place, you may not be doing the right things, and mm-hmm. it's not taking over school is not easy. It's inspired by true events, but these events have never really happened. There is only provisions in like California law to take over a school, and there's no record of any school actually getting that done. And some people would say, well, it's bureaucracy and it's the school board putting up roadblocks. But it's also because, as much as I know parents want their kids to learn, but they don't know the first thing about running a school.
Right.
I mean, I don't walk into a restaurant. I mean, I wouldn't walk into a restaurant and be like, well, I should have this kind, these things I expect as a customer. But I can't sit there and tell them how to hire people. And
are you
going
to take over the restaurant?
Yeah. I want to know. I don't know how to clean a grill. You know, I got friends who run restaurants.
You might know how to clean a grill.
I might, yeah. And I think that if you just had people at a restaurant just take over the restaurant, it would be an absolute unmitigated. No, it would be a mitigated disaster. I don't even know what that means. Won't back down. I mean, I want to say it sucks because it's not. I mean, the heart's there. And the performances are okay, but it's really heavy-handed. So, but I can maybe give it a kind of sucks, not totally sucks, simply because there's a certain level of optimism there that I wish people had.
Okay.
I don't know why I got all sudden. I sounded like a politician on that one.
You did a little bit,
actually. I wasn't pointing. I was using my thumb. You know how politicians they like dig in with their, you know, it's like, I'm going to stab you. I don't know why that. That pointing with your thumb. With
fat guys in the White House.
That's right. Fat guys in the White House. And the White House would be like, it would be like an off gray because, you know, we're not into hygiene.
We don't have time to clean things.
We're not into hygiene here.
No.
The next thing we're going to talk about is Pitch Perfect, which opens this week in limited markets.
Some places, yes.
So depending on where you are, check your local listings. This is in which a college glee club, you may have heard of glee club shows, Battles or rivals, in a musical competition and on campus.
Oh boy, the bad boys of a cappella have just gotten better.
You girls are awesome. Lee Horrible, I Hate You, Kill Yourselves, Girl Power.
This is a list of all of the songs that we have ever performed.
There's nothing from this century on here.
Not enough to be good. We need to be different.
There will be no more wasting time with school or boyfriends.
Can I trust you will add your own cardio?
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
What did you think of Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
So was I. It was...
It was one of those I almost didn't go because I was like, do I really have to see this movie? But I'm glad I went.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I first was even aware of this movie a couple weeks ago when I think it was I saw The Apparition at midnight.
The Apparition.
Which was not that good. And they showed a trailer for this, and I'm like, oh, this looks stupid.
Interesting pairing.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe the only thing I could think of is because The Apparition starred the hottie from Twilight. The
Anna Kendrick?
No, not Anna Kendrick. The other one. The one that has nude photos on the internet.
This is how I put
people in boxes in my brain.
Yeah, I know.
The one with nude photos, which is funny with her nude photos, is they had nude photos that leaked, and she immediately said, yes, those are mine.
Nice.
Which means I have the copyright, so I order all of you to take it down. That was the most smartest thing. I'm the most smartest.
You're the most smartest film critic.
I'm an expert.
What was that? Hold on.
Apparently, Sean Cunningham had a
5-year-old.
I'm a toddler. I'm a drunk toddler walking into movies and going, this is great. Blah, blah.
That's a great movie.
That's going to be the quote on the cover box because of Pitch Perfect. Blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah.
We're getting back to Hotel Transylvania.
Wow, what is happening to me? I'm sweating. We're in a sweat lodge as we
record. We are. It's terrible.
Anyways, whatever her
what
name was.
What were we talking about?
The girl from Twilight, the hot girl from Twilight is in The Apparition, and Anna Kendrick is in Pitch Perfect, and that's the reason I think they paired that trailer set. And it's Summit. Oh, no, it's Universal. And
it was Universal, yeah.
I'm thinking way too much about this. But I thought the trailer looked terrible, and I saw it, and I was like, wow, this is actually really funny.
It was really funny.
It has some great moments. It has some really edgy moments that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I think you and I might disagree on those.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple that you weren't expecting. Because I sat next
to you.
Well,
yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting. But yeah. I'm not saying that they were necessarily good.
Well,
is what
some,
I'm saying.
They had zingers and liners. Like
well, yes.
They have Elizabeth Banks and John Michael Higgins. Is that his
yes,
name?
And they are hilarious.
They
totally
played,
inappropriate and so funny.
And it was a surprising thing. And Elizabeth Banks is a producer on this, which is which it makes sense. But I was pleasantly surprised with this. It reminded me of Glee before Glee became self-aware. If you remember those, like that first half a season when they're just like, we're just going to make this stupid little show about Glee Club.
We're going to have fun with it.
And we're going to have the old Glee Club teacher was like selling pot. they were on drugs and they had teen pregnancy and they were kind of edgy with that. And then Glee realized, oh, high school kids watch this and 13-year-old kids are watching this. We need to make this more sanitized and clean and more progressive, and we need to now like push agendas and that sort of thing. And then they just completely fell apart.
Yeah, agendas. Who needs them?
Who needs agendas? Agendas. Just throw those out the window.
Yes. We just need singing and dancing.
Yes.
And more a cappella.
Jazz hands. That's one thing I was upset. There's not a single jazz hand in this movie.
It's true. There are no jazz hands.
The only thing that bothered me about Pitch Perfect, it does kind of fall in that rut of a step-up movie where it has that formula that they have to go and throw down.
It's true, but it's fun. You know, some of the step-up movies are fun, too.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
They also, well, yeah, step-up movies are good for what they are.
And yeah, and by the end, even with the step-up movies, you know, by the end, you kind of want to just cheer them on because it's fun. And, you know,
sing.
There's energy and, yeah, you want to get up and dance.
Yeah. The only thing is that they do have scenes where they, like, just sort of improv these four-part, eight-part, ten-part harmonies. And they just go and they go, oh, we're just going to sing this song. And then boop, 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 boop.
It's talent.
It's
talent.
No.
Even when they don't know the songs.
Yeah.
They're all looking at each other like, I don't know this song.
Oop-a-doop-a-doop. And they got all that going in the background. I sounded like a calliope there.
That was neat. Can you do that again?
No, but I think I should move to Oompa Loompa Land and get a job at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Nice.
As background noise.
Anyways, think you're too big.
Yeah.
You would be the world's biggest Oompa Loompa.
The world. I'll be like, my God. He ate
what happened to
other
that guy?
Oompa Loompas. He said, the heck with the chocolate. I'm eating Oompa Loompas. Anyways, I'm giving Pitch Perfect a rock.
I'm giving it a kind of rocks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're allowed to.
Thank you.
Anyways, let's talk about the box office from last week. You had End of Watch win the photo finish. It was up between Hates, House of the End of the Streets, and End of Watch. End of Watch ended up pulling it out with $13 million, and Hates came in with $12
million. Now that was quite
million.
A race.
That was. Well, it was surprising. And then you had Trouble with the Curve, which was $12.2 million, so it was right there as well.
Yeah.
Three-horse race, or three chairs. And then you had Finding Nemo, and then Resident Evil 5, and then Dread.
Right.
You know, like Just Jared. Just Dread came in at $6.3 million at number 6, which was extremely disappointing for Judge Dread, or for Dread. Judge Dread did a lot better, and it was a terrible movie.
And I didn't see Dread.
Dread was
and
good.
And I'm guessing you saw it.
The problem with Dread is it wasn't just R-rated, it was like aggressively R-rated. And that's fine. I like that, but you can't make an aggressively R-rated film like that and then expect it to go mainstream.
Right.
I mean, it was like, because people would be like, well, like 300 and Matrix. I'm like, no, this is not.
That's not aggressively R-rated.
Even 300 had some, but it was very stylized and there was some nudity and there was violence, but it was all comic booky. This was like bloody violence and it had sexual things in it. And so I just don't.
So you loved it, is what you're saying, because this sounds like all of the things that you love.
Well, you know, hey, you know, you know, in church at least, but
no. And you brought all your kids to see it.
No. Oh, I was going to bring my son Liam, but I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I will even draw the line at certain points. We got about 30 seconds left. What do you think is going to win the weekend?
Oh, that's a tough one.
You got four of them.
I know, but none of them are box office kind of movies.
Hotel Transylvania.
I'm going to give it to Hotel Transylvania.
It's going to win.
Yep.
Pitch Perfect, I think, will do well, but it's such limited market.
Right.
I don't think it's going to have the theater count. And Looper, I think Looper's going to be like Dread. I just don't think it's going to.
It's kind of obscure.
It's going to be. People are going to be like, I don't understand it. What happened? You're going through time? And why does it look like Kirk Cameron? Anyways.
On that note.
Yeah, when we
let's
come
take
back,
a break.
We're going to talk about the DVDs and Blu-rays. welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. That's the new way I'm saying it.
That's nice. I like that.
I'm going to talk that way all the time. It's going to be like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. I'm going to talk like Fat Guys at the Movies all the time.
Except you'd need like a Darth Vader mask with that.
I do. I do need that. Do you realize that between Bane and Batman, they cover their entire face?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. There's a symbolism there that I guess.
So, you know, it's like a you complete me kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They could never make out. Anyways, you know, we were talking about the box office. I want to hit this really quick before we move in and talk about DVDs and Blu-rays. Resident Evil. Did you see Resident Evil 5?
I didn't, no.
You missed out on some great awfulness.
That's what I hear.
It is a terrible movie.
I hear it's brilliantly awful.
You know what's scary is it's closest you'll ever get to making a video game movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible movie. It looks, they have at one point, they're like, we need to go from this place and we got to go through these bad guys. And I'm like, this is just a setup for a video game.
Do they make the noises? Boop, 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 boop,
they
boop, boop.
I wish they did. I wish they actually would have had like controllers.
Super Mario Brother music.
Boop, 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 boop. Anyways, the movie is not doing terribly well in the U.S. It's only at about 34 million, I think, is what it's at. It's been out for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It is killing overseas, which is what the last movie did. It's gone.
That makes me wonder about people overseas.
People are stupid overseas, apparently.
Yeah.
They pushed 2012 and like Ice Age 4 to massive money. Yeah.
Not to insult any of our listeners overseas or anything.
Well, the ones who listen to this show overseas are brilliant.
Well, clearly.
They're smart.
But yeah, it does make me wonder about people overseas because there are a lot of movies that do really well overseas. And I'm like, really? Like Battleship? Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that you don't actually have to speak English to understand what's going on in Battleship.
Well, there's that.
Or Ice Age 4.
True.
Or Resident Evil 5. So all these share that common ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, overseas, it tends, those movies that when they're crap and it's just like spectacle and 3D, because 3D is blowing up overseas.
Yeah.
If it's spectacle and excitement and action, people will go see it because it crosses the language barrier. And even like places like India or China where you've got dialects and different languages and that sort of thing, it helps to have a movie that you can follow without listening and understanding any of it.
But still, a note to people overseas, please stop encouraging them.
Yes. Get some class. get some class like us Americans.
Like us Americans.
Who watch shows like Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's another
classy one.
You don't have to understand Honey Boo Boo to actually watch Honey Boo Boo. Have you watched Honey Boo Boo?
No, I've just seen the clips on the soup.
It is.
That's as much as I need.
It is a hot mess. And what's funny about it, they subtitle that show.
From what I've seen, you'd need to.
Well, the family is so redneck and horrid that you can't understand a word they say. Did you see a clip where they did the smell your breath or guess whose breath?
No.
They had a whole clip on that where that was the game that they would play. And one person would have other people breathe in their face and they'd have to guess which family member's breath that was.
Well, now I know what we're doing at Christmas.
That's right.
Awesome.
We should play that now. But it's just the two of us.
Right. So there are only two of us
here. If you breathe in my face, I'm going to guess it's you.
You never know. I could bring someone in. There are other people around here. I could call the neighbors.
Anyway. Oh, come on, people. That's what, you know, if they should make a 3D Honey Boo Boo movie with lots of action directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, it would kill overseas.
Awesome.
3D Honey Boo Boo. Anyways, the DVD roundup, which I didn't have my whip ready. I'm so out of it. I just did it with my noise on my mouth.
Yeah, that was bad.
I'm so terrible. I'm not professional at all.
It was kind of sad, really.
The big ones, there was this little independent film that came out this summer called The Avengers. Did you hear about it?
I'm not sure if I've heard about that one.
It is a movie about people that avenge things.
Oh.
It made $1.5 billion. Literally $1.5 billion.
I know, it's amazing.
It was
but
a great
it
movie.
Deserved it.
It was a fantastic
yes.
movie.
I would give it $1.5 billion.
If I had $1.5 billion, if I had $1.5 billion, I wouldn't give it all. If I had like
that's
80
like a Bare Naked Ladies song.
Really?
If I had $1.5 billion,
I don't think that's how it goes.
Oh,
but who knows? I don't. I think there was something about a dress in that movie. That book. I mean, book, book. What am I saying? There's also Bond 50. Which is all 22 Bond movies. And it's called Bond 50 because it's the 50th anniversary of James Bond. Because 1962 is when Dr. No came out. Almost exactly to the date. I think it was like October 5th.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a Bond nerd.
And you just did a whole Bond marathon with your kids.
I showed my
kids.
Which
is awesome.
All the Bond movies. From Dr. No to Quantum of Solace took us 6 days. It is 46 hours of movies. And what's great about that for somebody like me, that counts as work.
I know. That's one of the nice things about our job.
That's a 40-hour work. I did overtime on that.
Yeah.
I spent six more hours than 40 hours to watch those Bond movies. But they have them all collected in a Blu-ray collection, big box set. It's like, I think the DVDs are like $100 on Amazon and like the Blu-rays are $150, which isn't bad.
That's not bad at all.
Considering you're getting 22 movies.
Yeah.
So.
That's way cheaper than the Harry Potter set.
Yeah, the Harry Potter. That's only
it's like
eight movies.
$500.
Lightweights.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bond 50 and the Avengers are the two big top picks. Did you have one you wanted to mention real quick?
There is also Damsels in Distress.
I did not see that. Is this the one with Greta Gerwig?
Greta Gerwig, yep.
She's charming.
She is, and I think this is my favorite performance by her.
Is it better than Lola Versus?
That's tough.
Really? Oh, you like Lola Versus.
I like Lola Versus.
Cause
for different reasons, but, well, yeah. This one I would say is better than Lola Versus, though.
Really? Okay.
It's quirky and funny and odd all at the same time, and it seems like it's a college movie, but it's not.
But they're like 30.
There's that. But yeah, it kind of mixes all of the wild college parties with all of those late night discussions that you would have about, you know, your personal philosophies when you were in college. So it's, you know, kind of a mix of those.
But it was
and
good because some
it's
of those
bizarre.
Dorm room conversations are pretty excruciating. I've been through those.
Oh yeah, I have too. So it's a mix of those. And it's bizarre and definitely not mainstream at all.
Okay.
But it's fun.
All right. Damsels in Distress is also out on DVD and Blu-ray. There's also some television shows that I want to highlight. There's American Horror Story. Did you ever watch that?
I didn't. You know, it's one of those things people get into the season, they're like, oh, this is an awesome show. And you're like, oh, so far behind already.
Yeah. It's so, only 13 episodes. But the thing is, my problem with it was, and I'm not finished watching all of it, but it opens up and it so plays on all the motifs. It almost overdoes it and it becomes derivative of the genre because it tries to throw too much in there. I do want to finish it because I'm curious as to where it goes. And they're getting ready to start the next one.
Right, yeah.
I think like the next season, like in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's in October, I believe. So that's out on DVD and Blu-ray. And of course, it's going to look good on Blu-ray. There's also the Carol Burnett Show.
Carol Burnett.
Carol's Favorites. It's a 6-disc set. Now, I got actually one of the discs as a preview. And did you ever watch the Carol Burnett Show?
Oh, yeah.
I love that show.
Me too.
It is quintessential 70s variety show with Tim Conway and
Harvey Korman.
And what's neat is they also have special features, which, and then a lot of these are older clips of stuff like interviews and reunion specials and that sort of thing, where they talk about, you know, what a curmudgeon Harvey Korman was, and Tim Conway will be like grumbling about, it's all about Harvey Korman.
Oh, okay.
Whether he's there or not, because he died like, I don't know, what, 6-10 years ago, something like that. So they have ones where he's on set and they're just making fun of him. And then they have stuff on after he's dead and they'll be like, yeah, he was a real grump.
Nice.
So, but he was loved. There are great sketches and some of them are corny. They have the
But the
songs.
Show was corny, and that's what was fun about it.
It was great. So if you have a chance to check those out, there's like 9 different versions of Carol Burnett shows on DVD, but Time Life did the original, like, all the complete collection for the whole 68 years that was on the air, which was like $6,000. Oh, $1.5 billion.
$1.5 billion.
That was the retail price.
That's another thing you could do if you had $1.5 billion.
Buy the entire Carol Burnett show.
Yes. Oh.
There's also Family Guy, Volume 10. Are you a big Family Guy fan?
I'm not.
You don't like? Do you not like Seth MacFarlane or what is it?
It's not that I'm not a big fan. I just, you know, there are just so many TV shows that I can watch.
Yeah. So you just don't watch it?
No.
I like Family Guy. I like American Dad better. I think American Dad has better material. Family Guy's fun, but it does get a little bit, it kind of swirls around on itself. It's like the snake eating its own tail at times. But it's still funny. It's
Yeah,
edgy
you know,
cartoon.
What I've seen of it is fun. So
yeah, it's good. So you've got Volume 10 out. You also have the stinker of the week. And I don't know if you agree with me on this, but we'll see. It's Desperate Housewives, the 8th and final season. Sorry, ABC Television. This show jumped the shark like 6 years ago.
It's true. I hate to say it because I watched it the entire time, but Yeah, it was pretty bad.
This last season was terrible, and it's completely nonsensical at times.
There were a few things toward the end. Mm-hmm. Toward the end, I was like, okay, now it's finally getting interesting. Yeah. But yeah, the beginning, it was grim.
Well, it's because they knew they were wrapping it up.
And the beginning of the show, it was fun, and you know, it was clever and quirky, and they had a sense of humor.
I think that they just gave up at a certain point. So anyways, we got to get going here. We are at the end of the show. Thank you for listening. You can, well, or reviews. We had Hotel Transylvania. We both liked, said it kind of rocked.
Yep.
Looper, you said kind of rocked. Mm-hmm. I said kind of rocked. Went back down. I only saw and I said sucked. I'm going to go with sucked. And Pitch Perfect, I said rocks. You said kind of rocks.
Yep.
Next week we'll be talking Frankenweenie, Taken 2, and VHS maybe. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Kristen, for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me. FatGuysInTheMovies.com, and we will talk to you later.
Like the show you just heard? Then head on over to FatGuysAtTheMovies.com to hear more. Fat Guys Network flagship show, Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Oh Snap with Kevin and Meryl. Celluloid Spotlight with Marilyn Hash, plus many more. And if you like any of what you hear, kick us a few bucks using the donation button on the sidebar. Or just leave us an iTunes review. Fat Guys Network is where the ooey-gooey podcasting goodness is at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.